Erev Shabbos Parshas Matos Tavshin Samaches.
Parshas Matos starts off with a lengthy discussion of Hilchas Nedarim, person who makes a neder, who makes a shvua, and requires himself to either do or don't do something for a certain amount of time, or says on a certain item that it's forbidden to him. That's the halacha of Nedarim, Hilchas Nedarim and Hilchas Shavuos, which the Rishonim ask already, where does this come in to interrupt the story here? Klal Yisrael going through the Midbar and going into Eretz Yisrael, would seem that these halachas could have been put anywhere, could have been said anywhere, and why do we interject it right over here in Parshas Matos, and that needs an explanation. Second thing we find in Parshas Matos is after the Melchama with Midian, after the battle with the Midianites, the soldiers come back, the Anshe Hatzava come back, in Parshas, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasik Chav Aleph, they come back with the loot, with vessels, utensils that they got from the booty of war, the spoils of war. Those who came back from war, he now tells them a new halacha, namely that of Hekshir Kalim and that of Tevilas Kalim. And he says, Aches Azov, Esakelsef, Esanachesh, Esabarzo, Esamadilla, Esayfores, the six different metals, they all need kashering. In other words, those that were used by these Goyim that you just fought against, the Midianites, you have to kasher them in various ways. If it was used with fire, you have to purge it with fire. And then there's another halacha learned from this word v'toher, and the next words ach b'mei nido yischata. The Gemara in the end of Avodah Zarah learns out tevilas kelim, which according to many Rishonim it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Others say it's only the d'rabbanan. But from this word v'toher, what's v'toher? Obviously, if you purge it, you cleanse it, you machshir it. V'toher, you also have to purify it. A keli that is acquired from a guy also has to be tevil. You have to be table it. You have to table it to bring it into Kedushas Yisrael. So these two halachas. And here also the Rishonim are wondering why dafke this is put over here. In other words, why was the mitzvah, the chiyuv, this mitzvah of kashering kelim, and this mitzvah of immersing kelim that are acquired from a guy, why is it put only after the battle with Midian? There were previous battles, namely that against Sichain and Ai, that also they took spoils of war, as we see in Sefer Devarim, beginning of Devarim. It says that Sichain came out with his whole army. Vaitenei Hashem al kenel lefaneinu. Hashem gave us over, gave them over in our hands before us. Vanachoi seves banaves kolamai, and we hit them and we killed them and we captured their cities and we wiped them out. And Raka Bema Bazaznu Lanu Ushlal Haram Ashalachanu, we kept their animals and we kept the loot, the booty we took. So we had spoils of war by the Milchama of Sichain and Ai already. So why was the Parsha of Hekshir Kelim and Tevilas Kelim not stated by the Milchama against Sichain and Ai? The Ramban asked his Kasha, and the Ramban gives the Teretz, which according to the understanding of the Rambam cannot be the same Teretz as the Ramban. And in order to understand the Ramban's Teretz in our Parsha, we have to understand the different machlokes between the Ramban and the Rambam in terms of going to war. A fundamental machlokes between them. There's a Parsha in Parshas Vaeschanan, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. It says over there, "V'hoya ki v'yachah Hashem lekecha la'aretz." When Hashem will bring you into the land, and Eretz Yisrael, Hashem nishba la'avisecha, la'Avraham li'Yisroch li'Yaakov, lo seislach. This is the land He promised to give you, and you're going to go there, and you're going to get orim gedolos v'toyves asher b'linisha. You're going to get great and good cities that you did not build; it was built by others. You're going to get houses filled with every good thing that you didn't fill. and you're going to get boireis chatsuvim, chiseled cisterns that you didn't have to dig out. Kromim v'zeisim, ashalei natatu, you're going to get vineyards. You're going to get olive trees that you didn't have to plant. V'ochalta v'savata, and you can eat them and you can be satisfied. And here we see an amazing halacha. An amazing halacha is derived from these psukim, and that is that when soldiers go out to war, it's free reign. They could eat nevelis, treifis. They could take from fields which were kalayim, which were arla. It's sort of the whole Torah is put aside. When you go out to war, everything is permissible. You have to eat whatever you find. You go into their houses, eat whatever's in their houses. You have to use their utensils, use their utensils, even though they're treif. That's what this halacha says. We know an additional halacha is when we find the being a parashat Kitzeitse. If one is Yetzirah, pushes him to have relations with a captive woman at war, it's permissible also. These are halachas of Melchama. Now here we have a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam says in Perek Ches of Hilchos Melachim that this halacha is limited. This halacha, when soldiers go out to war and they find food which is not kosher, he said that is limited to if you can't find anything else. The Rambam says as follows: Hilchos Melachim Perek Ches Halacha Aleph. Chalutzei Tzava, soldiers, mishikonsim begvul agoyim, when they come into the boundaries of the goyim, v'yashu mehem, and they settle in over there to fight the war. Mutar lem lechol neveilos treifos ubosech chazir. It's a gemara in Chulin, daf yizayin amud aleph. Even a kidle chazeri is mutar. You can eat pork. Doesn't matter. Everything is permissible. But the Rambam gives a qualification. Imro v'loy motzim ayoichal elamacholim elu hoasurim. The Rambam says that's only if you don't have anything else. You don't find any kosher food, so then the Torah permitted you to eat not kosher food. You don't find any utensils that are clean, then you can use the kelim from the goyim. V'chein shaysi ayinesech. The Rambam says mipi ashvu alamdu. This is the Gemara quotes. Ubatim aleim kol tuv. Houses that are filled with everything good. Everything good means not your house, it's their houses, the Goyim's house. You can eat to your heart's content. That's what the Rambam learns.
We don't need that in Russia, that's
very good. So Frank the Ramban, good. Frank the Ramban, ain't ze nochay, shlobish will pikuach nefesh, oi ravam bulvado de bishas melchoma. Says if it's pikuach nefesh, it doesn't have to be a soldier at war to have this heter. It's pikuach nefesh, of course, every the whole Torah is put aside to save the person's life. He says rather, this is talking about soldiers who go to war, and there's sort of a carte blanche heter. Even if you have stuff, you have the soldier brought in his own knapsack, he has food, he's allowed to take from the goyim. This is the heter going to war. That's one machlokes the Ramban has with the Rambam. A second issue he takes with the Rambam, and the Rambam says, Chalutzei Tzava, once they come to Gvul HaGoyim. The Rambam doesn't tell us what type of war we're talking about. According to the Rambam, it seems like any type of war that you would fight, whether it'll be a Melchemes Mitzvah, in other words, to acquire land in Eretz Yisrael, or it'll be a Melchemes Rishus, that they decide on their own to go to war, this halacha applies. Says the Ramban, that's not true. Look what the Pasuk says. It's only if you come into Eretz Yisrael. So on these two issues, the Ramban argues the Rambam. He says, first of all, this is halacha even if you have what to eat. And second of all, it's only going on a Melchemes Mitzvah. It's only going on a war that they fought to gain land in Eretz Yisrael. So says the Ramban. A nafkamina, a difference between these two understandings will be as follows. According to the Ramban, when you come into a Melchemes Mitzvah and fight a battle in Eretz Yisrael, and you take food from the Goyim, and you're allowed to eat it, even if you have your own food, it would seem to be we could understand it as well, that even if you take that food and bring it back to your own home, you could still eat that. even if you take those kalim, those utensils from the goyim, and if they are spoils of war, you could still take them. Why? Because this was a heter of war. This food I'm allowed to take because it was under the context of war. As opposed to the Rambam's understanding that it's only a heter when you don't have anything else to eat. And even does the Achrenim say, the Rambam doesn't mean it's pikuach nefesh, but it just means that person's hungry and he doesn't have any kosher food, the Torah allowed him to eat. But once you come back home and you have your own food, you have your own kalim to cook with, there's no heter anymore. So now we can understand what the Ramban answers to his question here of why did we wait to tell the parsha of Heksher Kalim and the parsha of the Tvilas Kalim until after the war with Midyan. Says the Ramban, this is here in Perek Lamed Aleph in Parshas Matos, Pasuk of Gimel. V'hizir oisam ata. Now Moshe and Elazar warned them and taught them about agolas klei midyan meisure agoyim, that you can't use the kalim which were used for non kosher by the goyim. V'lo yomer lahem zeh mitchila b'klei sichen v'oik shelachu lam shlolo gam shlolom. There also they took the spoil. Why not? Ki sichen v'oik malchei ha'meirihem v'artsa minachlas Yisrael hi, and therefore v'hutu lahem kol shlolom afilu ha'asurim, or even what things which were oiser. In other words, the battle against Sichon and Og was to acquire Eretz Yisrael land. That was really belonged to Klal Yisrael. So that was the Melchemetz Mitzvah. And the Ramban, as we saw in Baruch Shavuot, holds that the Melchemetz Mitzvah you can go to and you're free to take whatever you want. And you don't have to kasher those kalim, because that's a Melchemetz Mitzvah where the Torah said, Batim Aleim Kol Tuv, you can have whatever you want. However, as opposed to Melchemes Midyan, Loishalahem, that was not theirs, it wasn't their land. The Melchemes Midyan was what? What was the purpose of it? Not to acquire land. The purpose was to take Nikama against the Midyan. Taking Nikanakim Nikmas Midyan. So that was a separate war. Memele says that not a Melchemes Mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael, and therefore there's no heter over there to take the utensils. So Dafke here, that's why over here the Torah had to warn a new halacha of Heksher Kalim. No, so that's what Ramban learns, because that's Vayikid Yachah, right? That was his whole argument on the Ramban. It's not any war, it's not even any mitzvah war. But Vayikid Yachah, then it was a war fighting over land of Eretz Yisrael. That's the heter of taking things that are not kosher. It doesn't fully answer the Ramban. Why? Because as Achreinim ask, there's a Shuv in the Shailah Meshiv, the Chassam Sofer on the Parsha asked this Kasha, others, that should only work for spoils of war, because once you're there, once you're taking their food, once you're taking their kalim, so then it's understandable that you can take it, and even what you bring back home should have a heter. But this Parsha of Tevilas Kalim, that is still left a little bit to be understood. Tvilas kalim is what? As the Gemara says, you're learning from this extra word of Vitoher. And the Yerushalmi of Vodisar says, you're taking it, the whole purpose of Tvilas kalim is to take it, mitumas ha'akum l'kedushas Yisrael. And we learn from this, even if it's a brand new keli, as we know the halacha is, you buy a brand new keli from a non-Jewish manufacturer, you have to be table it. So really it has nothing to do with whether it's kosher or not kosher. It's a new halacha that anything you take from a non-Jew has to be tabled. It has to be elevated to Kedushas Yisrael. So why should that have the heter? And the Ramban really doesn't explain this, but this is what the Achreinim asking him. Why should that have the heter of spoils of war that don't need this special tefillah?
What happens if it wasn't a soldier who used the cable?
He brings it back home and his family wants to use it?
Yeah.
Do they have the heter too? According to the Ramban, it would seem they should have the heter. It's part of the spoils of war they ought to take, and if we understand, you could even bring it home and still eat it at home.
But is that only the person who was in the milchama?
No, is it the soldier himself, or even his family?
Or does it become then his property? And then the issue of Tvilas Kalim would make a difference.
No, you're saying why? Because if he acquires it for himself and now it's his, so it's as if it's a Jew's.
Correct.
Okay. Possibly that we can say for the Ramban. So Rav Schwab gives a very clever teretz to this kasha. And he said that with that you can answer the Ramban, you can even answer the Rambam, which we need a teretz for the Rambam. Why we didn't say the halachas by Sichin and Ay. According to the Rambam, even the whole heter is only at war. In the Melcham itself, in their lands itself, in their cities, that's where you're allowed to eat it. Once you bring it back, there's no heter anymore. In Parshas Chukas, by the Melcham of Sichin, it says, Vayaku Isai, hit them, Ad Bilti Hishir Loisarid. What we read before in Parshas Devarim. Vanachrim is Kolayim Isim. This is Moshe Rabbeinu relating over what happened. Vanachrim is Kolayim Isim. And you destroyed the cities, you killed everyone out. Vahanoshim Ataf. Lo Yish Arnu Sarid. In other words, from Sichin and Ay, there was no one left. There were no men, women, and children who were all wiped out. So Schwab says, if they were all killed out, so nobody owes anything, it's Hefker. So once it's Hefker, if a Yid takes something from Hefker, he doesn't need Tfilas Kalim. That's his already. And if you understand it from the philosophical standpoint, it means that when did the Torah require us to take it from Tumas Akum to Kedush Yisrael? That's when you're involved with an Akum. When you're involved with, this is his Keli, and I'm taking it from him, I'm buying it from him, I'm receiving it as a gift from him. So then I have to be tabled to elevate it to my status of what I have to use it for. But once it's from Hefker, so it doesn't have any connection to the guy anymore, it doesn't have connection to the Akam anymore, you're not required Tfilas Kalim. As opposed to Melchemes Midyan, we didn't kill everybody out. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's whole taina. What, you leave over the women, and certain ones you have to kill, but certain ones you can leave. So once that's, and then it is owned by the guy. If so, that's why here the first parasha of Tfilas Kalim is told to Klal Yisrael that they have to be tabled to Klal Midyan as opposed to the Klal Sichin and Oid. So that's how we understand why the parasha of Hechsher Kalim, Tfilas Kalim, before first stated over here.
So are you saying
understand the Rabban's teretz? And yeah.
Let's assume you buy Kalim from a Jewish distributor who has purchased the Kalim from the guy or from the manufacturer. Do you have to tuggle the Kalim?
Yeah.
Why? Using this logic, right. You would.
Using this logic, already you didn't get. See, you can say over there that
I didn't get it. I got it from.
So that's where it gets into the technicality of Hilchos Tefilas Kalim. The reason is this actually, not for our discussion now, but this actually gets into a very unknown halacha. The halacha of Tefilas Kalim only pertains to Klei Seuda, only things that you're going to use for cooking food, eating food out of them, which gets into the next part of our discussion. A distributor who bought it from the manufacturer, the non-Jewish manufacturer, at his point, he is not mechuyev in Tfilas Kalim. Why? Because he didn't buy it for the purpose of eating. That's why you have advertisements, people who sell Jewish stores who say, we table all our kalim first. It's a problem. Why? Because it wasn't mechuyev in tefillah yet. So they're tabling, it doesn't help. But the problem is they were tabling, so can I make a brach when I buy it? It's an issue. People buy gifts for other people. Oh, they were tabled already, or they table it. If you didn't buy it for the purpose of eating, it's not mechuyev to that point. The right thing to do is you buy it, and you give it to the person and say it was not tabled yet, so then the person can table it. Or if you think they're not going to table it, then it's better to table because they might not do it anyway.
But today, where you have basically publicly owned corporations that are owned both by Jews and by non-Jews.
That's a shayla if you have a kela which is owned b'shutfus. With a Jew and a non-Jew, there's a mechuyev in tefillah. I'm saying even this, it's klei seuda. It's the only things you're going to eat out of, and then it only has a chiyuv when it comes to the person who is going to eat from them. So to answer your kasha, it goes from the guy first stops at a non-Jew. I'm only buying from a non-Jew. True, but the whole idea of tilas kelim, the chiyuv didn't set in until the person who bought it, and then it came from the guy. I think if you see from here that the Torah is very makpid, the Torah is very concerned to what a Jew puts into his mouth. Because it's not just if I buy a computer from a guy, I have to be table it. No, that's not the point. The point is that with the kelim that I get, which have either giul nachrim, it has actual flavor from the food that they ate, that has to be purged, that I have to take out, shouldn't be put into my mouth, or even kelim which they made, which was owned by the guy, and I took it, even with spoils from war, from the clay midyan, I have to take that and first immerse it. I'm not trying to get anything out. It's not a halach of tumah mentara, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Macholas Sasuris, but it's a tefillah, as Rabbi Yaakov wants to suggest. It's like a tefillah of a kohen gadol. He has to immerse it. We're immersing the keli before we're able to use it, but it's clay suda. And as the Torah was concerned, we have to be table things and elevate those things that I'm going to put in my mouth and I'm going to cook with and eat with. I have to be careful what I put into my mouth, because here you see the power of the mouth of a yid. The beginning of the parsha, the whole parsha of Nedarim is kechol ayezim bipiv yase. This koyach that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave a yid, it was not given to a guy. A Jew could say, this table should be usher to me. This chair should be usher. And as the status of Allah of usher, as if it was of a desire, I can't benefit from it. This chair, I can't benefit from it if I make a neder. A guy can't do that. A guy could decide on himself from today to tomorrow that this thing he's not going to use. It doesn't make it usher. But when a Jew says, this chair should be usher, when a Jew makes a shvuah, it's binding on him. It's now a new obligation. That's the koyach of the mouth of a Jew. So the beginning of the parasha now wants to tell us that we're going to teach you halacha that a person has to be careful what he puts into his mouth, because what a person makes go to says and goes out of his mouth, he has to do, that's the koyach of the mouth of a Jew. And I think lastly, it connects very well with the parasha in a different instance. Famous Rashi, when they went to the Milchama of Midian, not only did they kill out Midian, but here too they killed out Bilam. How did they kill Bilam? Rashi says, on the base in the Pasuk says, Harhu Bechorev, they killed him with the sword. Why did the Torah have to specifically say they killed him with the sword? Says Rashi, Hu Baal Yisrael, he came against us, the Hechlef Umnusai, the Umnusam. And he wanted to switch his trade with our trade. He wanted to use our instrument against us. His instrument, his tool, his clay umnes, his trade is to use the sword, Baal Karbo Chatichya. He wanted to use us, he wanted to use what our power is, he wanted to use it against us. She'ei noitzchem ela b'fiyam. Klal Yisrael is only saved b'fiyam with their mouths, right? They tefila u'bakosha. U'bohu v'tof hasum nusam l'kalulam b'piv. He wanted to go against us and use the kayak that he has with his mouth. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, that I'm not going to accept from you. That's not your umnes. Klal Yisrael, that's their umnes. The tool of a Jew is the peh. The tool of a Jew is the instrument of his mouth. The tefila b'akosha. Says the Chafetz Chaim points out on this Rashi, that since our most potent tool is our mouth, and that's why we see whatever goes out of our mouth has to be careful, because it can affect, it's give a status la halacha what we make the dharma shvuas. We have to be careful what we put into our mouths. That's the whole idea of tefilas kelim and hesher kelim. And the Chafetz Chaim takes it one step further. We have to be careful what we do with our mouths. Just as a tradesman, someone whose tool is a very delicate knife, he wouldn't make sure it gets dulled with something else, says the Chafetz Chaim. So to our mouths, we can make sure it doesn't get dulled with the Dvarim Asurim, can be dulled with what with Einaz Dvarim, with Lashon Hara. And the mouth of a Yid should be most protected, because it's our biggest kayach, the biggest power, the clay that we use to get anything. A keli means is what a person makes. He can build things with a keli. He can build shemayim v'aretz with his mouth, as the Chafetz Chaim quotes the pasuk in Yeshaya. And anything we need to do, anything we need to get, is through our peh, as Rashi says, de tzvilo bakosha. So this parsha, one of the things that we learn from parsha Matis over here, is the power of the mouth of a yid. Through tefillah and bakasha, he has tremendous kaiches. Through nedarim and davis, he has tremendous kaiches. And therefore, a person has to be always guard his mouth in what goes into it, and guard his mouth, what goes out of it, and then the tefillahs will, Hashem, be makriyim and accepted.